Welcome in, kingly brothers and heroic husbands from around the planet. Welcome to this new episode of the Be the Husband She Brags About podcast. This is the one podcast where everything we do, we say, we express aims to support you become the marriage transforming hero of your relationship. So we're introducing the code to let your queen viscerally surrender into trusting you'll never ever leave her. Do you experience moments when she brings that into question? Your commitment. Are you really in this? Are you all in? Or in arguments, does she give kickback and ever suggest that, well, you've never fully committed, you're not in? And or a whole line of thinking and talking like that. Do you experience that you get kickback in moments of conversation when you feel and believe internally that what you're saying is actually quite nice and should be received, and yet there's this invisible fog of kickback, of resistance to letting your words and your love penetrate her? Do you find that you ever have quote-unquote, you know, behavioral issues with your kids that you just can't get your head around and get them to behave properly? And I'm in the air doing the quote unquote, you know. If any of what I'm speaking to, you have a nodding head going, yeah, there's some parts of that, or you resonate quite deeply, well, then definitely this episode is for you. I mentioned a few episodes back, I'm forgetting how long, it's the last few months, that I, in my continuous study behind the scenes, I read The Culture Code by Daniel Coyle. There was a key idea in it that he brought, and it's not too uncommon. It's using different words and different research, and it's cool and new ways of looking at it to what I've spoken to before. But the idea of belonging cues was coming up as a core part of Daniel's research behind the scenes at great organizations, work cultures like Navy SEAL training camps, the culture there at Pixar, there's early days Google, tons of different companies and organizations that come together and do things at an exceptionally high level, but they're effectively famous for the super high level of connection and output that happens in these cultures. So Daniel Coyle went for a few years and did an immersive deep study of that, and hence the book came out. I really like researching stuff outside the realm of what is directly linked to family leadership, to relationship advice. I tend to really like it because I believe it's pitched at a higher level of responsibility, at a higher level of individuals who are ambitious, who really fucking need to take on board the message, because they're books that are written for leaders in organizations, leaders in business, high level entrepreneurs. And I really like that because I believe these books are pitched at a level that every single husband on the planet needs to pitch himself identity-wise. You are amongst the most important leaders on the planet. I passionately believe that to my core. So I believe it's the perfect place to study is books and wisdom and researchers and teachers that study what are the key aspects of leading super successful, highly important organizations. Hey, that's the place where I study the most. So belonging cues. What are belonging cues? Belonging cues are behaviors that create safe connection. In his research from multiple different organizations, it's not an exhaustive list, but some belonging cues that Coyle speaks about or writes about are proximity, remaining close to people, eye contact, lots of it, energy, mimicry, behaviorally mimicking the other person so you form that mirror neuron connection. Turn taking. Nobody dominates the space. Everybody gets a voice in turn. Attention. Body language. Vocal pitch. Consistency of emphasis. Whether everyone talks to everyone else in the group. Physical touch, the likes of handshakes, fist pumps, hugs. Lots of short, energetic exchanges. Again, no long speeches. Few interruptions, active listening, humor or laughter, attentive courtesies, lots of thank yous, opening doors, pleases, etc. The key thing in all of this is it requires a steady flow of belonging cues over time. It's not a once-off phenomenon. So, in all of these organizations, Coyle found that there was a distinct culture set where belonging cues were dominant in all social interactions. It was palpable. He writes about the immense chemistry that he felt when he was with these people. And, you know, high-level organizations that are, you know, producing world-class content, world-class products, are at the leading edge of their industry of human creativity. You know, there might be a part of you, again, it's like, oh, but that's not about family. Yes, it is. I mean, if it works for these high-level organizations and teams, that's the type of stuff that you want to be taking on board. And these places have a river of belonging cues that are bombarding people's nervous systems. And why is it so important? Well, belonging cues answer an ancient, ever-present question in our brains. Our brains are 24, well, not literally 24/7, but they're always switched on to answering questions like, are we safe here? What's our future with these people? Are there dangers lurking around in the background here? If you go into behavioral studies, if you go into ancient, oh, what's the word, man? Oh, you can email me and say, Mark, you've butchered down anthropological. I'm some of these big long words I butcher. Anyway, the study of humanity going back centuries, millennia ago. If you looked at, you know, pre-language acquisition as a species, we used these signals long before that. So the deepest, oldest, most ancient parts of our evolutionary biology is completely mapped into our unconscious brains, and we're highly attuned to belonging cues or the lack of them or the opposite of them. So it's mission critical. The entire evolution leads us to being super sensitive to sensing out, do we belong or do we not? What's relevant in this for you as a husband to pay attention to is, you know, in answering these questions, can your queen, can your kids answer, how would they answer these questions? You know, are we safe here with dad? Am I safe here with my husband? Now, the very quick Mr. Nice Guy response is, of course you're safe. But deep down, emotional safety. How are you when you come in from work? You're hungry. You're tired. You've had a tough day. How's your mood? How's your energy? How's the self-mastery of what the message that your body is communicating and the response it's evoking in those around you? How safe are you in moments of vulnerability, in moments of tiredness, in moments of overwhelm, in moments of you feel like there's 10,000 boxes to tick, and then you get home and you have to tick another couple of boxes off, or a ton of them? How safe are you being? Again, from heroic humility, the grounded truth where we're truly at, like when I look back, I was like, wow, I was radically unsafe a lot of the time. Like every day, maybe I had some good days, good periods, but even in those periods, was I safe? No. What I was calling as a good period, my queen looks back and goes, yeah, I had these periods where there was like, I was walking on eggshells, just waiting, when was the next time that you were going to, explode the next time, that you were going to lose your patience with the girls the next time. So it's like, be really accurate there within yourself, and even, you know, have the spiritual balls to go and touch base with your queen. It's like, hey, on the podcast there today, I was listening, you know, are we safe here? Am I safe here with my husband emotionally? Are the kids safe with him? Get your queen's feedback. That'll be way more accurate. What's our future with these people? You know, there's this part of our nervous system that's trying to answer the question, what's our future with these people? You know, what's that subconscious part of your queen's nervous system gaining as a response to this question? You know, what's my future with this person, with my husband? Now, the conscious brain of you is like, the vast majority of divorces are called for by our queens, at which a lot of the time men are in shock and in horror. I've seen guys like horrified. Mark was listening into the podcast for such an amount of time, and you know, I just didn't realize it was as bad as it was, and now can I join the movement? Now can I come get coaching with you? It's like, oh, why? Because she's landed the divorce papers. We don't have a very good conscious guidance system that picks up how bad things can be. So your conscious mind answer, you know, to what you believe or what you would like believe your queen's nervous system, your kid's nervous system would be answering in, hey, what's our future with these people? I mean, your queen, her subconscious, that danger, am I in danger? Am I safe? Do I have a future? It would be an uncomfortably high percentage of times where the honest answer is, they don't feel so radically safe. If they were completely safe to unleash what they're feeling in the background, you know, maybe they have a loyalty thing where maybe like the marriage mightn't feel in such jeopardy. But man, you got to get really real with this and not make any conscious mind assumptions. We're talking about subconscious, the subconscious. You know, do they have any concerns at all about the future of, is this just how it is? You know, when your queen slows down, your kids mightn't question their future with you, but, you know, because, oh, the biological blood is thicker than water, the biological link and that. But honestly, like, what's the future with this man as my dad? You know, will I actually want to be around him? Will I want to call home on weekends when I go to college? Will I want to live in the same city as him? It's real deep questions to ask yourself. And again, I wouldn't be so quick to just go, yeah, I'm cool, I'm good with that. It's not to be pessimistic, but you gotta really develop black box style thinking and at least remain open that, you know, if you're listening in here, there's some part of you in marriage, you're getting feedback from your marriage, from your queen, that things mightn't be so well. Remain open to that. And then the question in their nervous system, are there dangers lurking? Very, very often, yes, a part of them, there's dangers lurking in the background. They don't, every single guy I've worked with, one-on-one, men's circle, down the years now, there's hundreds of guys, even before I've kicked off this movement, including myself, no man have I ever met that has any bit of a handle on the subconscious intentions that are pulsating in the background of his nervous system. Not even fucking close. And I've worked with some guys that have meditated many more hours with their ass on a meditation cushion, have done therapy, could tell you infinitely more about their childhood than I could, because I haven't done the whole therapy route, you know, writing 20 books PhD style about my childhood. I haven't done that. So I've met a lot of guys that have, on a surface level, a lot more knowledge and wisdom and information than me. Their subconscious intentions, it's a shit show, and they weren't and are not aware of that, and hence the work begins. So are there dangers lurking there? In the vast majority of times, if your queen and kids could have like a full radical free space where they know their feedback is going to be honored, and not just in the first question, but there's a culture, you'll find that after quite a bit of time of radical safety, they will fully come to let you know that They were feeling a lot of danger behind the scenes, emotional danger. So in belonging cues, Coyle goes on to write, they have three basic qualities. That's really key information here for all of you guys listening in. When it comes all together, you can max the power and the potency of using belonging cues. Number one is energy. Belonging cues, they invest energy in the exchange that is occurring. Now, this is really key because what I notice with guys is nearly every single guy has good intentions. And I will hear very often, and I know I had my own excuse making in the beginning where it's like, oh, but I used to fucking argue with my queen. It's like, but I hugged you there. But I told you I loved you. But I told you I did this thing. I consciously listened. And yes, like I'd have this, all of these arguments, early days, well, definitely first 12 years of marriage, but even early days, early couple of years, I'd back argue and my rational mind was like, what do you mean I didn't listen to you? Or like, I'd back argue with the feedback that she was giving me. I now retrospectively look back and go, my energy wasn't there. It was like I was complaining that she wasn't receiving the good intentions, but it's like I was landing the plate of her favorite meal that I was presenting to her with all the best ingredients in the world, but I didn't heat it up. So I was like, I don't know, for her favorite meal, I'm just making this shit up, is like, Parmigiano, melanzana di Parmigiano is like in Italiano. But it's like I've put all the ingredients together, but I didn't heat it up. Energy. Belonging cues invest energy in the exchange that is occurring. So you might even read this list of belonging cues and go, oh, eye contact, and oh, you know, short exchanges and humor and laughter, attentive to the courtesies and active listening and consistency of emphasis, all of this cool shit, body language, vocal pitch. But you don't land it with any energy, with emotion, energy in motion. Emotion is the energy that puts into motion. It's energetic. You got to land it with energy. A lot of the times working with guys, like, they're not putting the energy in. They're not heating up the beautiful ingredients that they're putting on the table, hoping that their queen will eat, will look at the plate and go, wow. The second part, the second basic quality of belonging cues is individualization. They treat the person as unique and valued. So often we're not sending out any meaningful belonging cues to treat the people that are nearest and dearest to us as being unique and valued. We end up getting into the same shit, different day, life is overwhelming, can't live with her, can't live without her. My God, life is just like 10 million boxes to tick every single day, and then I go to sleep, wake up tomorrow morning to end up the same thing, Groundhog Day. And we radically diminish the amount of communication that our body is transmitting a message, belonging cues, that evokes a response that the person in front of us feels unique and valued. In many senses, this aspect of the belonging cues, you probably wouldn't be listening in if you were nailing this. So individualization is another part of belonging cues. When you, like, over time are a river of belonging cues that treat your queen, and hey, I'm going to bring in your kids as well with this, like it's a whole, creating an amazing culture in your family. A river, being a river of belonging cues that treat your family members, those nearest and dearest to you, as being unique and valued. Man, it's such a fucking beautiful thing. So there's energy. Basic quality of belonging cue number one is the energy. Invest that energy. Heat up the ingredients and have it as a hot meal that she can actually fucking receive. Number two, individualization. And number three, belonging cues have a future orientation. They signal the relationship will continue. Now, how fucking stupidly simple is this? And yet, how it's so radically missing in so many marriages. Belonging cues have a future orientation. They signal that the relationship will continue. So many of us, like, unwittingly, with the same shit, different day, not appreciating the moment, getting caught into the rush and the frenetic nature of life, you know, taking all the boxes, we forget to slow down and actually, literally, signal to our queen that we're so radically happy to continue marriage together. I know this is like one key thing with belonging cues that I've really come on board in the last couple of years to be ultra explicit with the amount of times I tell my queen, I am so happy I got married with you. I'm so happy. You're the one woman. Like, wow, what an honor it is that I get to see that the rest of my life, this sacred, beautiful life that I have, I get to have that, all of that time with you. Oh my God. And like, I tell her, it's like, oh, I'm really tending to my health and I'm, you know, cutting out sugar and I'm keeping fit, baby, because, hey, long term, I want to see yourself and myself, 90, 100 years old, still rolling around, fucking like bunnies, doing tantric lovemaking, walking, hill climbing, fucking doing crazy shit together. And it's like, it's the future orientation. I'm continually telling her a story of this future that I'm looking forward to, and it's only getting better and better. It's like, oh my God, I can't believe I've woke up with the same beautiful woman again. Hoo-yah! The universe loves me. So, belonging cues. Energy. Invest the energy. Heat the meal up. Individualization. Number two. Treat the person as unique and valued, guys. Unique and valued. You really need to max that to the last. And the future orientation. You know, and even in times of, especially in times of conflict, you know, future orientation. We'll get through this and be stronger. Look at us go now. We're dealing with the issue. And I know, baby, in the next 20 minutes, we're going to come back into connection. Hey, baby, this is super intense now. I'm glad that we're doing this. We're going to be so connected and stronger for it. And, you know, whenever the end of this conversation comes, you know, I'm gunning for that. It's a future orientation. I'm not going anywhere. So the takeaway from marriage leadership is up your energy. Make sure your queen and kids are explicitly valued often. And use safe language, future-oriented language, that it's like you're so excited about the future that is coming and you continually drip feed your queen on a daily, weekly, monthly, yearly basis, like this excitement about the future that is so beautiful and awesome. The most important point for all of us in this, the main message in belonging cues, the main message that your body must continually transmit to your queen and to everybody in the culture of your household is this: you are safe here with me. Your body needs to be transmitting that on a moment to moment, hour to hour, day to day, week to week, month to month, year to year, decade to decade basis, and have that ceaseless. Your body's transmitting that message. You are safe here with me. You are safe here with me. You are safe here with me. Belonging cues are the magic sauce behind that. Because when you have communicated incessantly that you are safe here with me, and very, very fucking few men do that. Very few. I've said it before, you know, one glance. I have a social curiosity fascination when I'm out and about with my beautiful family. And if ever, you know, girls go off with Matilda or whatever, I'm sitting, I'm a social observer. I'm a researcher. And at a glance at a table in a restaurant, at a glance at a family interacting in a shopping center, at a glance of them out for a walk. At a glance, there's so many times you can see that from a belonging cues perspective, oh my God, there's a quantum leap that's needed from a lack of, from a incessant communications and messages. It's like the social cues are of disconnection, of scrolling on a phone when your queen is the far side of the table, off you, like your kids in the playground. It's disaster. The belonging cues that are so necessary for kids growing up, when parents are caught, I see dads caught, and hey, I hold my hand up, why do I know this now? Because I was that guy, I was that dad, I was that husband. But like, dads, they're piss arsing around on their phone, they're not paying attention, or they're lost in, you know, just chatting with other dads at the park, or, you know, with their queen, or maybe with soft boundaries with some of the other young mothers that are there. It's like, it's a fucking, can be a shit show, and it was a shit show for myself. But the belonging cues that their kids' nervous system are constantly yearning, they're not there, they're not being met. None of this is to criticize you guys. I was neck high in an inner world reality that, you know, belonging cues just weren't coming through me to my kids, to my queen. So much so that, hey, you know, 6 years ago, I invited a dude into her home for a couple of weeks, and my queen's nervous system all of a sudden realizes one guy that she didn't even find physically attractive in any way, shape or form, and didn't even like his personality the first couple of days. Give it a week, and hey, in a superficial way, he was a river of belonging cues, and her nervous system was fucking starved off that with me for so long that all of a sudden, you know, her nervous system was like, I've hit the jackpot. I don't believe any man listening in, if you love your family, if you love yourself, if you, you know, love your kids, can afford to ignore this information. There was multiple different aspects of research that Coyle reported. But there was some by Alex Pentland of the MIT Human Dynamics Lab. And Pentland was using a device called a sociometer, which measures nonverbal belonging cues. Super cool, funky thing that the book goes into. But they did an experiment which analyzed a competition in which entrepreneurs pitched business ideas to a group of executives. This is super cool. I actually just love research like this. Each participant presented their plans to the group. The group of executives then selected and ranked the most promising plans for recommendation to an outside group of angel investors. What Pentland found that the sociometers, which tracked only the cues exchanged by the presenter and audience and ignored all informational content. This is key. There was no informational content tracked. It was all those subconscious behavioral belonging cues. The sociometers predicted the rankings with nearly perfect accuracy. So with no verbal, with no informational data taken into consideration at all, they could predict the rankings with accuracy, with incredible accuracy. In other words, the content of the pitch didn't matter as much as the set of cues with which the pitch was delivered and received. The funny thing about this was when the angel investors viewed the plans on paper, so there's zero social cues, and it's 100% informational content, they ranked them very differently. Now, what does this mean for you in marriage? Belonging cues count more than everything else. You can be that nice guy. You can be the guy that, God, but I just said the nice thing and I got her flowers and, you know, I tidied up the kitchen before she got home from work and she's still unhappy. And, you know, and I hear this all the time. I heard it 24/7 in my own nervous system, in my own mind for years, guys, where I would do certain things and it wouldn't come off and I'd be there licking my wounds afterwards feeling, God, she never appreciates me and she's always on edge and God, she's so irrational and Oh, she's jealous. She's always fearful that I'm not trustworthy. I was yearning her to just fucking trust me. But when I now look back and when I rinse my old self through these belonging cues and the energy that's needed, the emotion to invest into it, the individualization, when was I making my queen feel unique and valued, and the future orientation, man, I was just making a true to fucking the end of the day to sleep. Making the truth to Friday was about the furthest future orientation I had. When I look back, wow. Like, it was written on the wall in front of me. And a lot of you out there, that is really the truth of the matter, is that belonging cues count more than anything else. But if you're having any issues in marriage, any issues in parenting, any times that your queen does not trust you, you can almost guarantee that you're not even at 5% the amount of explicit, high energy, landing it there in front of her, clear for her to see, to feel, to experience. You're not even at 5% of the potential of belonging cues that you need to be bombarding your queen and your kids and creating a culture of belonging cues that they're omnipresent. They're just, it's a river. They're just happening all the time. I look at my marriage now and, guys, I've been training my nervous system to develop this. Like, when I read this, I was actually feeling really good. And I rinsed through my queen's nervous system. She was like, yeah, you're at it all the time. All the time. It's just like I don't even have to think about it. Sometimes I have to generate. I might be in a grumpy form, a low energy form, and I will generate out of thin air some aspect of belonging cues to change the texture of the moment. So you see the research. There was tons of other research there, and there's research in other books that I've seen. Belonging cues really matter, guys. Really, really matter. So coming into landing, up the energy off them. Make sure your queen and kids are explicitly valued, explicitly. Use safe language, future orientation, and become a river of belonging cues. Proximity, eye contact, energy, mimicry, turn-taking, attention, body language. You're there, you're fully with them. Vocal pitch, consistency of emphasis, physical touch, handshakes, fist pumps, hugs, lots of short energetic exchanges. No long speeches, major one for me. Kids have been giving me feedback even recently on that. Stop. That's actually, they were super grateful. Yeah, you're not doing the long big speeches anymore, Dad. We weren't listening ever. Great feedback. Few interruptions, active listening, humor, laughter, attentive courtesies, tons of thank yous, opening doors, gratitude, please. Be fucking pleasant, guys. I think that's the ultimate thing. Be fucking pleasant to be around. For those you know and love around you, nearest and dearest, bring the full belonging cues in and create that culture where, hey, your queen can viscerally surrender into trusting you'll never, ever leave her. And from that state of being, when belonging cues are there and those that primitive part of your queen's nervous system and your kid's nervous system can just gloriously know, I am radically safe here 24/7 from my first moment toes touch the ground outside of bed in the morning to that night. And that when they're literally fucking asleep, dreaming, they're feeling safe. Nothing could be more glorious in your leadership of your family, in your leadership of your marriage. And you need to, we all need to work on this. This episode for me is me building the muscle, putting more energy on it. If you would like support in any of this, I have exciting news to let you all know here. There is a launch coming in the coming weeks of Heroic Husbands training and community platform. It's half the price of what the price of the Heroic Husbands Men's Circles had been. It was up to $199. It's half that price. It's going to be $99 per month with times two and even more the results. Sounds impossible. We're going to make it possible. I am astoundingly excited about all of this. It's taking the absolute best of the epic 20 or 21 months of Heroic Husbands Men's Circles. It's taking everything we've learned from there and packing it into and creating a training and community platform. So you'll still have the community. You'll still have accountability. You'll still have live shares from other guys. You'll have calls together. But packing it with highly specific training, where in those training, in the master classes, and they're going to have a video library and tons of practices that you can, in your own moment, in your own time, your own space, in the convenience of your own life, you will be able to get to work and figure out what it is, the precise black and white nature with which my nervous system, my mind, now looks at marriage, now sees growth opportunities from a million miles away. A guy hasn't even started speaking before me, and in the first half a sentence, I am already noticing and picking up growth opportunities. There's going to be the King's Coach call, a ton of calls there that are going to be available where you'll be able to access direct coaching from me and a whole lot more. It's going to be absolutely fucking awesome. I would love to have you guys in there. It's easier access, more cost effective. Yeah, there's just a fucking ton of benefits. I'm so excited about that. If you would like to know more about that, where I will be letting guys in and on the launch date, which is coming in a few weeks time, it's via the newsletter link. You'll find that in the podcast description notes. It's where you will see a link, free 15 Simple Habits to Be the Husband She Brags About ebook, and the link for that. If you have already signed up and you're on my newsletter email list, you don't need to take any action. But if you're not and you would really like to get yourself in the running for that, I would join immediately. This is literally unrolling. It's launching in about 2 weeks' time. So get yourself in. There's going to be one intake and no other intake for a number of months after that. Super excited about that and can't wait to see you all in there. Coming into Landing Brothers with a ton of brotherly love from Roscommon, Ireland. I mentioned there in last week's episode, I celebrated the passing of my dad there last week. I've had a lot of beautiful brotherly love coming in from guys within the movement that have got to know me personally in quite an intimate way, and that's been really nourishing. And I bring it here at the end. It's really bringing home to me again and again. You know, my mother passed 3 years ago and my dad passing last week. The utter, raw, fucking, beautiful preciousness of life, of what it means to have this glorious opportunity to be with loved ones and actually make our time with our loved ones count. And we have this, if you've lost a loved one, you'll know what I mean. We get this massive jolt into our nervous systems where, oh my fucking God, you know, it's like all the priorities, all the bullshit, all the busyness, all the things in that moment. It's like you get what's important, but then the busyness comes back in. I'm raw and open, and it's like a next level. It's cracking me open to the softness and the preciousness as I unpack through the grief, the depth of meaning that comes through with leaning in at this rite of passage as a son with my dad and previous my mother. We've no time to waste fucking around with busyness, screwing around with old thoughts and pathways and beliefs from childhood that, you know, our queens don't love us and we're not lovable, and all that this human experience that this profoundly sick society has indoctrinated us into believing, which is the only reason we end up having so-called issues in marriage and issues in life. And no more. You deserve to enter the infinite game of life, of marriage, of love, to crack your nervous system open to an infinite capacity to ferociously love and accept yourself, and from belonging cues and everything else, bring like an infinite expansion of love, sexual attraction, all the fucking good shit with your beautiful queen. Bring that exciting journey. Bring her to the horizon on the distant future ahead. Again, that future orientation. Live long, happy and healthy together forevermore, and with your kids, and have the next seven generations coming after you fucking singing songs and telling fucking stories at firesides in the future, long into the future, about the epic human being that you were and the beautiful life that you lived. Legacy is everything in masculine practice. I want that for myself. I'm creating that for myself. But I want that for you. I want that for every single one of you out there. In perfect alignment with the mantra of this movement. Better husbands today, better world tomorrow. Go have an amazingly beautiful kingly day.